So this morning, we are on morning session one, message five, the cycle of our spiritual life, the anointing. Hopefully by the end of this message, you'll say, the anointing, right? Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope that it will come out and that you will realize and see that God, as the anointing, is so precious, so sweet. So we've been covering the cycle of our spiritual life, right? And this is so healthy and so good for us in our Christian life, in our Christian journey, that we would always be progressing. We would always be growing, right? The divine life comes into us, and this life produces a fellowship, a flow, right? Grace as a river shall flow. The Lord just wants to flow within us unhindered, uninterrupted. This fellowship then brings in divine light, and we know that many of us in this training have really been under the shining of the divine light. Is that right? Yes. Me too. The Lord is shining. The Lord is shining in our being. And actually, the Lord's shining is, it's so sweet. It's so pleasant. It's so gracious. You know, with the Lord's light comes the Lord's supply. And what the Lord would like us to do when the light comes is just to say, amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, I agree. We're not beating ourselves up. We're not condemning ourselves. Our position, our response is just amen, Lord Jesus. And when we say amen to the Lord's gracious shining, the blood is immediately applied. This is wonderful. And so we stand by faith on the fact that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin.
Amen.
Right, it was so good to see that the Lord is actually faithful and righteous to forgive us. You know, since the price has been paid, the Lord cannot say, you must pay it again. He cannot. That would be unrighteous for Him to do that. So since the price has already been paid, right, the precious blood of Jesus, the Lord is faithful and righteous to forgive us. So this is our stand. So brothers and sisters, it's so sweet that we're in this cycle. This is a picture of our Christian life. Life, fellowship, light, blood, life, fellowship, light, blood. The result of this cycle is we are growing, we are progressing, we are advancing. So this is wonderful. So today, though, you know, where is this all found in the Bible? 1 John. Actually, this morning, I read through 1 John. We don't have time, but it would be so helpful for you to read through 1 John. It's a progression. Eternal life, fellowship, light, blood. It's all in 1 John. Well, in 2 John, John, the Apostle John, introduces one additional item for this cycle of our Christian life. And that additional item is It's the anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is just God moving in us. God moving, operating, working in our inner being. And brothers and sisters, we're so burdened that you would know this inner moving triune God within us. You know, God always is moving. He wants to move within us. And as He moves within us, two things happen. One is that He adds Himself to our inner being. He adds Himself. He applies Himself. The second thing that happens is we begin to know Him. And we begin to know His mind. And we begin to understand. You know, actually, many of you in this training, I bet there is some feeling that is welling up regarding the Lord's heart, regarding the Lord's feeling, regarding the Lord's intention for you. You know, sometimes we come for fellowship to the brothers. What should I do about this? I'm struggling with this. But actually, you already know. You know. You already know. You already know that you should deal with that. You already know that you should drop that. You already know that you should choose that. You already know that you should pursue that. Why do you know? You know because you have the anointing within you. You have God applying Himself to your inner being, which is causing you more and more to know Him in His inner, delicate, sensitive feeling. Well, this is the anointing. We're going to bring this out. So how does the anointing relate to the cycle of our spiritual life? It's a little bit difficult to say. It's very advanced. But every time the blood is applied, the anointing enters this cycle. The anointing is activated, and God begins to move within us. And I would say the anointing, you know, the entrance is here, right after the blood. Then we have this anointing. And the anointing
Amen.
It's an ing. It's moving. It's moving. It's moving. It's always moving.
Amen.
You know, God in our being is not there in an inert state. God is moving. He's always moving. He's always moving. He's always operating in our inner being. Well, this is the anointing. Okay, let's read a couple points on the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 1. The inner anointing is God Himself. Let's say those ings together. Is God Himself moving, working, operating, and adding Himself within us. Amen. So this is the anointing. Concerning God as life, He flows in us unceasingly. This is the fellowship of life. Flowing, right? When we're in the meeting, we're singing, and there's just this rich flow, right? We feel the fullness of life. This is the flow, the fellowship. It says, concerning God as the Spirit, He moves in us continually. This is the anointing. So God also is moving in our inner being. The word anointing in John, 1 John 2:27 is a gerund, a verbal noun denoting an action, as in moving, adding, and operating. So I'm so touched by this. You know, brothers and sisters, in 1 John chapter 2, John refers to God as an action. This is really something. You know, somebody who swims, what do you call them?
A swimmer.
Somebody who runs, what do you call them?
Runner.
A runner. Somebody who paints, what do you call them? Well, somebody who anoints, what should you call them?
An anointer.
An anointer. But John calls the Lord the anointing. He calls Him an action. Why is this? You know, the triune God is in our being. He's anointing. He's anointing. He's anointing again and again and again and again. So much so that you would just say, He is the action. You know, it's like a painter. He's in a room. He's painting. Let's say you have somebody painting your house. He's painting. You know, maybe it's a long project. You say, "How's it going? You know, is he in there? What's he doing? You know, maybe he's painting." The next day you come back. "What's he doing? He's in there. He's painting. How's it going? How's the painting? How's the painter? How's the painting? He's still painting. He's still painting. He's still painting." Eventually, you might just call him the painting. That's all he does. You know, I was imagining a situation where there's a swimmer. He's swimming. Maybe he's going for some kind of world record. Or the runner. He's running. He's running. He just runs. He just runs. And on the news, they say, "The runner, today, he's in Austin. You know, he's running. He's running. Today, he's in Houston. The runner. Eventually, they might just say, the running. Because that's all he does. He's the running. He is the action himself. Well, anyway, saints, this is the triune God.
Amen.
What he is doing nonstop within us is anointing, moving, adding, operating, moving, adding, operating, so much so that he is the ing. He's the ing within us. So the anointing really enhances the fellowship. It increases the life. It deepens the light. It opens the way for the blood. So the anointing is kind of like the hub of this divine wheel that's always turning in our inner being. This is the divine anointing. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read point C together. Okay, this is really where my burden is. The anointing is the moving and working of the indwelling compound spirit, who is fully typified by the anointing oil, the compound ointment. Okay, so what the anointer uses to anoint is an ointment. Someone who anoints, the material that they use to anoint is ointment. And brothers and sisters, this is pictured in Exodus, in which the Lord told Moses, the children of Israel, to prepare this special thing called an ointment, this special ointment filled with all these very particular ingredients. And we're going to get into this, but I'm very touched that of all the things in the Bible that God could have used to present us with a picture of himself, he decided to use ointment. Why do you think he decided to use ointment? He's telling you, brothers and sisters, he's saying, this is a picture of me. I am ointment. Why ointment? Why not so many other things? Why ointment? What is ointment used for? Say it louder.
Healing.
Ointment is specifically used for healing. I'm so touched by this. Ointment is used for healing. God is sending us this message. I am ointment. I am ointment, which means I want to come to heal you. Okay, we've been getting so much light in this training, sometimes blinding, and we receive fellowship that's been so helpful. You know, the fellowship about preserving our humanity and the things of this age that can come in to damage us. You know, we're under assault nonstop with all these things that want to damage us. And, you know, it may be the case that some of us have fallen prey to some of these attacks of the devil. Well, what do? You got some wound. You know, you saw the cup being crushed. What do? Well, brothers and sisters, I would like to just give you the good news that the Lord Jesus is ointment.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus is ointment.
Amen.
And he would like to heal you.
Amen.
He would just like to heal you. So what are your wounds? What are your illnesses? What are your diseases that are so painful within your inner being? The Lord Jesus came as the great physician. I would like to read you some verses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. It says, "And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man sitting at the tax office called Matthew. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he rose and followed him. And as he was reclining at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and reclined together with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners?' Now when he heard this, he said, 'Those who are strong have no need of a physician, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You know, brothers and sisters, who are you today? Are you the strong? If you're strong, you have no need of a physician. But are you ill? Oh, we are ill. But that's wonderful. Our illness qualifies us for the treatment of the great physician.
Amen.
You know, at the end of this age, the Lord is going to create a masterpiece. The Bible calls it a poem. And what is that masterpiece? That masterpiece is composed of thousands, millions of human beings who were damaged and who were attacked by the devil and who are so complicated and messed up in their inner being. But God came as the great physician and he gave each one of them this personalized, specialized healing ointment. And it healed them and it repaired them and it transformed them. And as a result, eventually, all together, these ones express and glorify the triune God in the universe. And the Lord would look at the devil and he would say, "Devil, look what I did. Shame on you.
Amen.
Glory to God."
Amen.
So whatever sickness you have, we have a great physician.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And with this healing compound ointment, you know, let me read to you some verses in Exodus. Actually, let me read you the footnote for Matthew. This is so sweet. The footnote for Matthew about those who are ill, it says, "In calling people to follow him for the kingdom, the king of the heavenly kingdom ministered as a physician, not as a judge." Brothers and sisters, there's no judgment. There's just healing. Just healing. A judge's judgment is according to righteousness, whereas a physician's healing is according to mercy and grace. Those whom he made people of his heavenly kingdom were lepers, paralytics, the fever-ridden, the demon-possessed, those ill with all kinds of diseases, despised tax collectors and sinners. If he had visited these pitiful people as a judge, all would have been condemned and rejected, and none would have been qualified, selected, and called to be the people of his heavenly kingdom. However, he came to minister as a physician to heal, recover, enliven, and save them, that they might be reconstituted to be his new and heavenly citizens, with whom he could establish his heavenly kingdom on this corrupted earth. So wonderful. So this is the Lord Jesus. Exodus 15:26 says, "I am Jehovah who heals you." I am Jehovah who heals you. So brothers and sisters, let's just open our being again and again. Oh Lord Jesus, here I am. I open my being to you. Lord, heal me. Lord, you know the wounds. You know my personal history. Lord, I open to you to be healed by you. So wonderful. The Lord wants to heal us. Okay, let's quickly go through these elements, the ingredients of the compound ointment. And these are presented in Exodus. You know, Exodus 30, 23 through 25 says, this is the Lord speaking to the children of Israel, telling them how to create this special compound ointment. He says, "You also take the finest spices of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and a fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 200 shekels, and a fragrant calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels. And then it says, and a hin of olive oil. So this compound ointment has these ingredients: flowing myrrh, fragrant cinnamon, fragrant calamus, cassia, and a hin of olive oil. And then it says, And you shall make is a holy anointing oil, a fragrant ointment compounded according to the work of the compounder. Sorry, a fragrant ointment compounded according to the work of the compounder. It shall be a holy anointing oil." So this is precious, brothers and sisters. You know, the Lord Jesus was there in eternity past, and he was considering the needs of his people. You know, he creates man, man falls, corruption, wounds, defeats, illnesses, diseases. But the Lord Jesus was there as a great physician, considering, what do my people need? What is their need? And 2,000 years ago, he stepped out of eternity onto the bridge of time, and he came as a man. And you know what he was doing there on the earth? He was creating an ointment. So, born in a manger. Oh, humiliated. He added that to the ointment. Limited. Grew up in a carpenter's home. Probably had to work so hard. Diligence added to the ointment. His mom says, you know, go sweep the sawdust from the shop. Obedience added to the ointment. Right? He's there living as a man, the infinite God and the finite man. Eventually, he goes into death. Death added to the ointment. He raises in resurrection. Resurrection added to the ointment. Victory added to the ointment.
Amen.
You know, it says when he was on the cross, he went into Hades. And the principalities were trying to hold him down. And he was stripping them off. And it says he could not be held by death. So resurrection power added to the ointment. So brothers and sisters, myrrh was used in burial. It signifies the sweetness of Christ's death. It says in ancient times, myrrh was used to reduce pain and to heal the body when it gave off the wrong kinds of secretions. You know, there was a brother fellowshipping with me the other day. He said, whenever I'm with the other brothers and sisters, opinions come out. Somebody says something, opinion. That's a wrong secretion. How do we deal with wrong secretions? We need myrrh.
Amen.
In the compound ointment. The compound ointment has myrrh to kill all the negative things that come out of us. The compound ointment has cinnamon. You know, cinnamon, in ancient times, it was used to stimulate a weak heart. Do you ever feel disheartened? Do you ever feel discouraged? Do you ever feel weak? You know, sometimes the other brothers and sisters are like, praise the Lord. And you're just like, praise the Lord in your heart. We need cinnamon. Cinnamon can stimulate our weak heart. And cinnamon is so sweet. Again, this represents the sweetness of Christ's death. Okay, what's next? What's next is calamus. Calamus is in the ointment. And calamus is a reed that grew up in a marsh or muddy place. It signifies the resurrection of Christ, shooting up, shooting up. So brothers and sisters, do you ever feel low? Do you ever feel defeated? Well, in the ointment is calamus to enable you to shoot up. Lamentations 3 says, I called upon the Lord out of the lowest pit. The lowest pit. Sometimes we're in a low pit. We call on the Lord. The Lord applies the ointment, and we can shoot up.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Finally, the ointment has cassia in it. Listen to this. In ancient times, cassia was used to repel insects and snakes. Insects and snakes. This signifies the power of Christ's resurrection.
Amen.
Sometimes the enemy doubts. It's over for you. You're hopeless. You did that again? Everyone's better than you. You're the worst. You're defeated. You lost the birthright. You have no hope. You don't know how to enjoy the Lord. Those are the darts of the devil. When those darts come, you know what we need? We need cassia to repel the devil. Finally, the last ingredient in the compound ointment is the oil. The oil is the Spirit. The oil is the Spirit. So divinity, the divine life. So brothers and sisters, I just want you to see this vision. That the Lord put together this compound ointment to heal whatever possibly might ail you. And this ointment is inside of our inner being, moving, working, operating. So our job is just to open our being, to apply the blood, and to allow the Lord to add Himself as the ointment to our inner being. My last point, first Song of Songs 1:3. Does anybody know that verse? It says, thy name is as ointment poured forth. You know, brothers and sisters, when you find yourself in any of these situations, you know what you need? You need the Lord's name. Oh, Lord Jesus! When we call on the Lord, his name is ointment in our inner being. The ointment gets applied to heal us, to add God to us, to impart the triune God into our inner being. Okay, let's read D together. So Brother Vern's going to cover this later, but every time we turn to the Lord, he's like a divine painter, and he's just painting. It's like there's this giant container of divine ointment, and he just applies it to our being, and eventually God's element is added into us. You know, you might feel like sometimes the cycle never, and you might feel like, I keep doing the same things over and over. Will it ever end? Well, brothers and sisters, apply the ointment. Amen. Apply the ointment. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You know, eventually, he's actually changing us. He's transforming us in his life.
Amen.
You know, the things that may troubled you before, they will not trouble you so much anymore. And in fact, you'll realize, whatever happened to that? That distant memory of that thing that seemed so large before me. Well, that's because of the ointment.
Amen.
Applied to our inner being. Amen. Brother Vern will continue.
How about we all look at the focus and read that together? Amen. So this is wonderful, just what Nathan just shared with us about the ointment. I was just so impressed and encouraged that God is applying something to us for our healing. And as he was finishing up there, he was sharing how in this ointment there's lots of ingredients. You pick up all those ingredients, right? There's oil as the base. Then what? Myrrh, cinnamon, calamus. Acacia. So all these things are to be applied to us, but it's very interesting. There's another word that comes here in Roman numeral 2, and that's teaching. And this is kind of odd, right? It's like, have you ever been taught by an ointment? You know, I use, was it the triple antibiotic all the time? I use that all the time, every time I get a cut, but as far as I know, it's never taught me anything. I apply it. I get the healing. Praise the Lord for the healing. But what did you learn? Maybe don't cut yourself. I don't know. It works. Maybe that's what you learn. It works. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 2 together. The teaching of the anointing is the feeling generated by the moving of the Holy Spirit within us. The secret of our growth in life is to obey and live in the teaching of the anointing. So we have to pick up this word, teaching of the anointing. So how about we look at 1 John chapter 2, and let's just read these verses together. This whole section here, 2:20, I think it's 20 through 27. And then we'll also pick up another word, okay? Verse 20, and you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar if not he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Everyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, that which you heard from the beginning, let it abide in you. If that which you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which he himself promised us, the eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who lead you astray. And as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone teach you, but as his teaching teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as it has taught you, abide in him. So what do you think the other word is? Abide. Yeah, this is a big word here, abide. Okay, well, how about we just look at the footnotes on this section, and we'll just kind of walk through them. You know, the recovery version is really God's provision to man in this age. You know, 100 years ago, there was a Bible, but there wasn't a recovery version. And so the recovery version is full of really helpful notes that are just the nuggets of this ministry that opened the Bible to us. And so we don't only have a translated Bible in our own language, which thank the Lord for that. The Bible wasn't always available in the language of the people, but now it is. And praise the Lord, there's also teaching. There's also openers that help us get into it. So I'd just like to help us get into it and appreciate the notes here on this section. So if we look at verse 20, there's a note there. Says, the anointing is the moving and working of the indwelling compound spirit, who is fully typified by the anointing oil, the compound ointment. So that's where that whole sharing came from. It's right here in the note. This all-inclusive, life-giving spirit from the Holy One entered into us at the time of our regeneration and abides in us forever. By him, the young children know the Father and know the truth. So here, there's also a knowing. Okay, so that's right in the verse. So it's not making anything up, right? Verse 20 says, you have an anointing. That's really good. Bobby encouraged me this morning. He says, you have an anointing. You may wonder whether or not it's real, but you have it. Okay, just like you have a heart. You have a liver. You have a kidney. You have an anointing. Amen. Have you ever seen your liver?
No.
No. Have you ever felt your liver?
No.
Do you have a liver?
Yeah.
You hope so, yeah. You do. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and it says, all of you know. Okay, let's go down to verse 21 there, the note there. It says, you know the truth. Says this denotes the reality of the divine Trinity. So this is one of the definitions of truth, is that it's a reality. So you know the truth. What do you know? You know the reality of the divine Trinity, especially the person of Christ, as taught by the divine anointing. So this week, you know, in this evening line, this person has just been being presented to us. The person of Christ and his humanity. Do you doubt that there was such a person? Is it even possible that there was not such a person? No, it's not even possible. It's like we have touched something. Something was presented before our eyes of this person from the Bible. And you know, there's a famous historian, he wrote that if the person, Jesus Christ, is not real, the persons who wrote about him must be the Christ. Because what they portrayed is so marvelous. It's so awesome. You know what I mean? So there is such a person, Jesus Christ. And we are coming to know him. And this is another reason why you need to be in the Bible. If you have any feeling that God is not real or these things are not real, read your Bible.
Amen.
Even pray, read your Bible.
Amen.
And if it's still not real, read some more. Pray, read some more. It does take a while. It does take a while. But there is a reality that's in the Word. And the Word actually produces the reality. So if you want the reality, if you have some desire, I don't know any reality. Is this real? I don't know if it's real or not. Read the Bible. And build up this habit as we've been helped this week. Okay, 21, continue, note 2 there. It says, this knowing, how do we know? We know by the anointing of the indwelling, life-giving Spirit. It is a knowledge in the divine life under the divine light, an inner knowledge that originates with our regenerated spirit, indwelt by the compound spirit. It is not mental knowledge produced by outward stimulation. Okay, so normally when you think about things that are real, you think about outward stimulation and mental knowing. Okay, well that's not God. That's not how we know God. We know God by what? The divine life. It really sounds like this cycle. We know God almost by this cycle. We know God by the divine life under the divine light. This is an inner knowledge that originates. Doesn't it look like our spirit? I mean, that's what I thought about. The ing is in your spirit. Yes. Yeah, because it's all in the life. These are all the ingredients that are in the life. Because this life is the person, right? Amen. You remember that? That was, I think, the first day. The life is the person. Amen. Life is a person. So who is that person? Jesus Christ, Jesus. And what have we been appreciating this week? He's the meal offering. Amen. So what is this cycle? It's part of it's a meal offering cycle. You know what I mean? It's the meal offering is part of it. And as you fellowship with it, you eat it. That's how you fellowship with your food, right? Food produces fellowship. And so when you eat it, you realize something. It's like, whoa, there's something salty here. Like Joy, where's Joy? There he is, Joy. There's fine flour. There's oil, right? You realize something. So that's, when you realize something, that's light. Okay? And when you realize you're not that thing, what do? You repent. And actually, I was thinking this morning, it's like then the light shines through. You know, and that's what we're supposed to do is the light. We don't create light. We just let the light shine through us. So really, when you say amen, you're just letting the light shine through. It's like there's no blockage to the light. But it's just flowing through, and then you just apply the blood. And so, I don't know. You know, when I was a young person, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, I wondered whether or not I was really a Christian. And I really struggled for a long time. Am I really a Christian? If I die, do I go to a good place or do I go to a bad place? That was my consideration. And I didn't want to go to the bad place, but are you sure you're not going to the bad place? And so I was, how do you be sure? How do you know? And so I wanted to be a Christian. I was trying to be a Christian, but are you a Christian? How do you know? And so my standard was, it must be your behavior, right? The standard of a Christian must be behavior. And if you act like a Christian, you live like a Christian, then you must be a Christian, right? That was my logic. 10 years old. What was my problem, though? I don't live like a Christian. I don't act like a Christian. I don't think like a Christian. I don't talk like a Christian. So I must not be a Christian. That was my conclusion, right? Seems logical. Okay. So how would you help this kind of person? Huh? Okay, but it's quicker than that. How would you help them? No, actually, I already called. I was already a Christian. I'm just telling you, this is where I was at. This is my experience. How do you know you're a Christian? What is that? Yeah, somebody else. How do you know you're a Christian? Huh? Know what? How do you know? Okay, so who said that? Okay, there you go. The Bible says it. That's actually a big help. The Bible says. Okay, what does the Bible say? Okay, everyone who believes in the Lord shall be saved. Okay. But how do you know if you believed hard enough? Hard enough. If your believing is adequate to save you, how do you know that? Okay, well that's another proof. Okay. We love the brothers. Actually, this is what I do with people all the time the first time I meet them. It's like, how do you know you're a Christian? How do you know? Because most people don't know. They may think they're a Christian, or they hope they're a Christian, or they want to be a Christian, but how do you know you're a Christian? Okay, so Julian, you're the one who's on the line here with the Bible, so I need more help. So you said, if I believe, I'm a Christian. Okay, I want to do that. How do I do that? What does believe mean? How do I believe? How do I know I believe enough to get saved? Because maybe I just believed a little bit. That's where I was. I was trying to believe harder. I didn't want to go to hell, you know. I'm trying to believe harder. It's like, yeah, what is... Yeah, okay. That's a little more substantial, right? Call on the Lord. Okay, so if I do that, the Bible says I'm saved. That's actually very good, because you removed all your feelings from it, right? Did you call on the Lord? Okay, so you must be saved. Yeah, and how do we know that? Well, the Bible says so. So that's very obvious. Okay. Okay, but you can come at it from another angle. It's like, what's the test of a Christian? Travis. Yeah, can you say it louder? I could barely hear you. Yeah. But I wasn't. That was my problem. I wasn't righteous. I wasn't living righteously, so you must not be begotten of God. Right? That was my problem. If I was living like a Christian, I would have thought I was a Christian. Okay, that's a good one, yeah. What verse is that? Yeah, there's a witness in your spirit, but I can't hear it. There you go. There you go. You got to remember, everyone has to know this verse. You should put this verse on the test tonight. Because this is the test. You want to read the verse?
Test yourself.
See? Right. What do you do?
Test
yourselves. Okay, here's a test. Test yourself.
Test yourself whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Or do you not realize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?
Yeah. Yeah, and even some translations say, unless you fail the test, right? So what's the test? Is Jesus Christ in you? That's the test. It's so simple. Is Jesus Christ in you, Bobby?
Yes.
You passed the test. Okay, so if you had asked me, if someone had asked me when I was 10, is Jesus Christ in you? Yeah, he's in me. You know what I mean? Because why are you struggling with all this stuff? Do you know what I mean? It's like your friends are not struggling about this stuff. It's like you're struggling. You're struggling with your behavior. You're struggling with your what. Why are you struggling? Because Jesus Christ is in you. You know what I mean? It's like the people that Jesus is not in are not struggling with this stuff. It's like you're only struggling because Jesus Christ is in you. And you want him to be more in you, so that's a struggle. Right? That's the struggle. And really, that's what this whole thing is. It's like, you know, that one night, the crushing cup, that's part of the struggle. You know, you just realize, man, I'm so damaged, you know. Okay, no one who didn't hear that word is worrying about being damaged. You know what I mean? If you're worried about being damaged, that's a good sign. If you're worried that you were damaged, that's a good sign. The people that are really damaged, they're not worried about it. You know what I mean? They're on another path. So if you're receiving light, that's a good thing. And you're realizing, I am so bad. Well, that's a good thing. That's part of the process. Be encouraged. There is blood. And there is more anointing. And the other thing the ointment does is it also supplies function. So we're not just getting the cup fixed, but this cup is being uplifted and empowered and enriched. Because what is this cup? It's not just a cup. What is the cup? More. The cup is your humanity, right? And it's not really even our humanity that the Lord wants. He wants Jesus' humanity. And so we're just the glove as an illustration. But you do need humanity, and you need humanity of a certain standard, but it's just the container. And eventually even, you know, it's almost like you can put the cup inside a cup, and then it can contain a lot. Right? If you just have this crushed cup and you pour water on it, where does it go? It runs out. But if you take that cup and put it inside a cup, problem solved. And so where are we? We are in. We are in Christ. You know? So, yeah, never damage yourself. That's not a good idea. But be encouraged. I am in Christ.
Amen.
I am in Christ. So, we don't have much time. Actually, the time's gone. But anyway, what I want to tell you is, like, really what this is doing is reproducing God. And this is just God's economy. We have a song we sing about God's economy. God's eternal economy is what?
Make
man the same as he is. Life in nature, but not in the Godhead.
Man,
one with him.
Thus to be enlarged and expanded in his expression, that all his divine attributes were expressed in human virtue.
What is that? That's this. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's reproducing the same thing. So all this knowing, this teaching is very helpful to realize it's not a doing. Normally teaching is to do, right? If you go to a guitar teacher, what does he teach you? He teaches you how to play guitar, right? If you go to a math teacher, what do they teach you? Mathematics, right? So when we read teaching, we always think doing, okay? But actually this teaching is being. It's teaching you how to be versus how to do. But even the being is not really accurate because it's making you that. Do you know what I mean? It's not just teaching you how to be a man. It's making you a man. Right? It's not just teaching you what Jesus is like or what he would do, right? WWJD. But it's making you Jesus. That's the teaching. And so as we abide, that's accelerated. And then we know. It's like, if you think about it, can an ant know a man? Right? Yeah, an ant, an A-N-T. No, can't. Can a dog know a cat?
No.
It's like, it's just mysterious. Can a human being know a cat? No. It's like, we have much more capability of knowing things, but do you understand your cat? Yes. Yeah, dogs know dogs. Because they have that life. The knowing comes from the life.
Amen.
Right? So this is really a proof of what God is doing, is we can know God.
Amen.
Can a man know God?
Yes.
How?
He knows his life.
He has his life. You can receive his life. Right? You can partake of his nature. Right? All this can be applied to you to make you him.
Amen.
So anyway, I have to stop. But I just, those footnotes are there. The outline is here. You can probably do a better job than I did. Just get into it, right?
Amen.
Pray over it. Open to the Lord. Sing it. That'll help a lot. I think we have 10 minutes for response.